Christian family was paying about $500 a month for health insurance. That was 2 years ago. The insurance premiums they were notified was going to increase, and the increase was up to $1,800 a month. That's a pretty good increase. The dad and the family became concerned, so he decided to send out a mass email. I was included on that email. And the dad said, "Does anyone have any ideas how we might be able to maintain health insurance for my family?" Thankfully, there were some people who were able to offer what are probably going to be some workable alternatives. Sometimes, as we look at life, people have burdens. It may be a financial burden, it may be a health burden, it may be a job burden, but people do have struggles. We heard that from the passage that Michael just read, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul said, "Bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ." As you look at the word burden in Galatians 6, verse 2, it describes not just a weight, but the word burden in Galatians 6, 2 describes a very heavy weight. As you look at the word which is translated bear, it is expressed with a present tense, ongoing action. Paul says, as there are fellow Christians who are worn down, as there are fellow Christians who are burdened, he said, you help bear. You see what you can do on an ongoing basis to assist those people. He said, if you do that, you're going to be fulfilling the law of Christ. It is important to help fellow Christians. For the coming weeks, we want to think about Galatians 6, verse 2, from a number of perspectives. This morning, we want to think about bearing the burden of loneliness. When I look at this time of year, November, December, thinking about the people that we've known, thinking about the people that we've met in this country and elsewhere, the holidays are oftentimes when people have the burden of loneliness. Maybe you have that burden now. Maybe you've had that burden in the past. Maybe that's the last burden you think that you'll ever have, and maybe you never will have it. But there are some people who feel lonely, especially during this time of year. There may be a few times in life when we feel lonely because, for the most part, we feel like we get along pretty well. School, if we're in school, we may feel that we have a lot of friends. And we have those friends at school. We have contact with our friends after school. During most of our waking hours, we have contact with others, so we rarely get lonely. If we're employed outside the house, maybe we have interaction with the coworkers, several people that we get along with well, and loneliness is the last thing that concerns us. But there are some people, sometimes some Christians, who face loneliness, and not just a little loneliness, but sometimes a lot of loneliness. Loneliness may come from the home, maybe a mom, maybe a dad, maybe both. The children have reached the point where they're out of the house, and mom and dad are lonely. Loneliness may come because someone has lost a spouse of many years. Doesn't have to be many years, but sometimes that's the case. After several years of marriage, life has just changed radically. Loneliness may come from moving into a new community. Maybe it comes because someone has taken a new job. Or maybe it's because of an extended illness. This morning we want to divide our lesson into two basic parts. We want to look at a biblical illustration of loneliness, and that's going to come from Psalm 27. We've already been asked to turn there. And then we want to spend the second half of the lesson thinking about how we can deal with loneliness. And part of that will also come from Psalm 27. Now, Psalm 27 is a passage which is often not studied. At least I don't see people study it too often. And it could be studied for a lot of different reasons. It can be, as we're going to do this morning, it can be studied from the aspect or the perspective of loneliness. And that's what we want to do. Let's start, if you turn back there, with that second verse. "When evildoers," the writer said, "came upon me to eat up my flesh, even my adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell." There have always been evildoers in the world. We can look at the present time and find evildoers in this country and really throughout the world. But as we look at this passage, a psalm which was very likely authored by David, he was aware of evildoers in the world. And as David thinks about the wicked people, the evildoers, he's not thinking about just one. He's thinking about many evildoers. He has in mind multiple enemies. And as the writer, presumably David, describes these evildoers, these enemies, he portrays them in a very striking way. He uses that unusual expression. He says, "They eat up my flesh." We probably never talk like that. Maybe aside from the Bible, we don't find expressions like that in the books that we read. But it sounds like, it sounds like from what David says, that he felt like at this time in his life that his opponents would devour him. If we were being pursued, if we were being maltreated by multiple people, we probably would feel lonely. And that's what we find in this psalm. As we look at the first part of verse 3, Psalm 27, the thought is enhanced or furthered. Though he says a host, a large number of people, should encamp against me. If you talk to lonely people, or if you are a lonely person at some point, you may find, whether it's yourself or speaking with someone, that loneliness often results in the feeling where people sense that the world is against them. It may feel like they're being faced by an entire army. And then as you look at the middle of the verse, you move down a few words, it says, the war should rise against me. If you have loneliness in your life, if you can put yourself in the place of the writer of Psalm 27, you can see some dark and gloomy days. Hiding, a need to pursue isolation, fear, loneliness, those items can literally consume a person's life. As you look at verse 6 in this psalm, the text talks about enemies round about. If that loneliness is allowed to grow, if it's allowed to thrive, a person can eventually become isolated from God, or at least they feel like they're isolated from God. Let's see what we have in verse 9. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Cast me not off, God, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Loneliness is like a seed. And when that seed is planted, it can grow and grow and grow. And eventually it develops some very deep roots. In this psalm, as we think about it from the perspective of loneliness, we find that loneliness can even involve one's parents. I don't know how everybody in here, what kind of relationship you had with your parents. But as this writer is thinking back about his situation, here's what he says in the first part of verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me. Children can feel lonely. And sometimes when they feel lonely, they look at mom and dad and they feel like they've just been left by themselves. And they have that big hole in the heart. Being cut off from mom, being cut off from dad, whether that's in the early years, maybe that's in the later years. It's not how God intended for his world to operate. And yet when those feelings of loneliness occur, they can generate intense feelings of loneliness. You may have talked with a senior citizen at a time or two, I have. People who were in their 60s and they lost a parent. And before that parent passed away, the child, who was a senior citizen, spoke of how they may have had weekly or daily contact with that parent and how that's been instantly removed by death. And there's great loneliness. Verse 12, as we look at this psalm, describes the writer's concern about being delivered to the will of his enemies. Once again, feeling like we've been delivered over to the hand of those who do not care for us, those who do not love us, the people who hate us, it promotes feelings of loneliness and isolation. Also in verse 12, we find the author talking about people who breathed out cruelty. They made violent threats against him. Adversaries in verse 12 are also described as bearing false witness. So here is a person who feels oppressed. Here is a person who feels like on every hand things are not good. Feelings of loneliness. Being falsely accused, which the writer experiences, is rarely a pleasurable experience. Verse 13 describes the author as feeling so badly the word fainted is used. Feels pretty much like an outcast as we look at this psalm. Loneliness is a problem. It's not just a problem, it is a big problem. A report from 2 years ago, which was issued about loneliness, said loneliness kills more people each year than obesity. Would you believe that? Being overweight kills people. But being lonely is an even deadlier problem. I can't prove it, but I've read that loneliness takes more lives than cancer. We hear a lot of people talking about cancer. I sure hope I don't get cancer. That's a terrible disease, and it is. But it's been said that loneliness takes more lives than cancer as well. I didn't know about it until this last week, but there's actually a loneliness society that people can join. If you're lonely, there is a group out there for you. You see, just being on Facebook, having X number of Twitter followers, that doesn't cut it. Loneliness has been attached to a number of suicides. It's also been joined with some maladjusted children. Loneliness, if we look at it from a medical perspective, has been joined with poor sleep quality and even an increase in blood pressure. It's been said to increase the wear and tear on a person's physical body. Whether we look at the secular data, and there's a lot of it, or we look at the Bible, loneliness is a serious problem. So if we want to look at this issue from a biblical perspective, the question becomes, how do we deal with loneliness? Does God have anything to say about loneliness? Do we have some Bible examples of people who were lonely? Yes, we do. And this morning we're looking at it from the perspective of Psalm 27. I said I wanted to go through Psalm 27 twice. We've done that once. Let's now make a second pass through it. But with this second pass, let's think about some solutions as far as what the writer outlines for us. Let's go back to the beginning, Psalm 27, and see what we find in that first verse. The writer, before it starts talking about the loneliness, says, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. If you are ever in a position where you're lonely, or you meet up with someone who is lonely, Psalm 27 verse 1 is a beginning point. One defense, one offense when it comes to dealing with loneliness is to have a strong spiritual life. This writer, he has some issues in the area of loneliness. But as he begins this psalm, he says, let me tell you where I'm coming from. He says, I want you to know that God is my light. I want you to consider that God is my salvation. I want you to think about the fact that God is my strength. So yes, there's loneliness. Yes, I'm struggling with loneliness. But at the same time, I have some hope. Faith, that great faith in God, that commitment, is one of the key tools in treating loneliness. As we looked at earlier, the adversaries that this writer had were great. He felt like he was literally surrounded by people. But as you look at this psalm, the end of verse 2 and also the end of verse 3, he says, my adversaries stumbled and fell. It's true that I'm experiencing some things that cause me to feel lonely. It is the case that I have some people who make my life difficult. But he says, I am confident even in war. And then as we look at verse 4, a passage which was not read earlier, he says, there is one thing that I want more than anything else in life. Suppose maybe today or tomorrow or sometime soon, someone turns to us and they ask us this question. What would you like more than anything else in life? If you could have one thing and only one thing, whatever you want, what would you ask? We just get to pick one item. Would you, as you reflect upon that offer, say, there is this piece of jewelry that I've wanted, and if I could have this, that would be my one request? Or would it be a vehicle? If I could just have this car, or this truck, or this other vehicle, that would be the one thing that I want. Or maybe you've always wanted to take a vacation somewhere. If only I could go to this place, all expenses paid, stay as long as I want. Or maybe it would be living in a certain area. What would our one request be? Maybe somebody says it would be having a certain relationship with this individual. The author, as we look at Psalm 27, verse 4, says, I have one desire, and this is it. My one desire is to be with God. My one desire is to be with God in this life as well as eternity. We may have some lonely times in this life. Others may have some lonely times in this life. But if you want to deal with those lonely times, make sure that the spiritual part of life is headed in the right direction, that the relationship with God is right. That's what he understood and tried to apply, and that's what we need to understand and apply as well. Verse 5. Another verse which I did not read says that God would conceal. God would hide this man when the hard times came. The end of verse 8 says that this man was going to seek God. And then as we look at verse 14, this is the last verse that is in Psalm 27. It says, wait for Jehovah, be strong, and let thy heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for Jehovah. When it comes to loneliness, this is a burden. Galatians 6, verse 2. It is, as we look at Galatians 6, 2, a burden, which Christians have an obligation to help others with as they can. But at this juncture, we want to recognize that those who get lonely do have some personal responsibility for the loneliness. We can help. But people also, in some respects, must make sure that they take the steps that they can take, and part of that is walking with God. As the lonely strive to walk with God, Psalm 27, Christians can offer some support, as we see from the Galatian letter. Jesus touched on this in certain respects when we think about the Sermon on the Mount. You may remember that back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus gave what is sometimes referred to as the golden rule. The ASV renders that, all things therefore whatsoever ye would, that men should do unto you, even so do ye also unto them. for this is the law and the prophets. As you look at your life, as you reflect about the years that you can remember on this earth, maybe you're someone who, when it comes to loneliness, you think, I've never been lonely. I can't really look back at a time where I felt like I was alone. And maybe as you think about this problem of loneliness, it's hard for you to envision. It's hard, perhaps, to imagine what loneliness is like. But Jesus, as we think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12, he said, you think about others. And you give consideration to the fact that others may have this issue, even if you don't. And then as we think about others, especially at this time of year, who may struggle with loneliness, think about what we can do. Maybe we're young. And it's a thought which is completely foreign to us. But at some point, we've probably been in a nursing home facility. Maybe it was a grandmother. Maybe it was a grandfather. Maybe it was someone who was sick in a convalescent home. Think back to that time. Consider if we were the one that were in that bed. Day in, day out. That's our lot in life. And as we are there day in and day out, perhaps no one ever comes to see us. Oh, maybe at Thanksgiving, maybe at Christmas time. But for the most part, no one comes. See the nurse, see the doctor, and see the people who bring food. But those are the only people that we see. No cards are sent, or no cards are hardly ever sent. If we're a Christian, maybe we had worshipped with a local congregation for years and years, but it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years since we were able to have a worship service. We're in that bed, day in, day out. Maybe bed sores on the body. How would we feel? We'd feel lonely. So-called shut-ins generally get out more than those who are in a nursing home, but they can also suffer from loneliness. Those who have lost mates also feel loneliness. Talk to them. They do. For years, if you speak with someone who was married for at least 5 years, maybe 10 or maybe 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, for years they were in the habit of going to various functions, sometimes worship, sometimes social events, sometimes events that were not all that pleasant, but they had someone with them. And now that relationship has been lost. Half the relationship is gone, and things are no longer the same. How would we want to be treated if we were in that position? I've had widows, and I've had widowers tell me. Sometimes they're not comfortable at social events. They just feel like half of them is gone. Everyone else has someone with them, and they no longer feel like they're part of the group. Not having relationships can create loneliness, but so can other items. There are people who struggle with depression. I didn't pull up any stats for this lesson, but depression is a huge, huge issue. And most are aware of the fact that when a person is depressed, loneliness can be and often is associated with that. Health problems. Sick all the time. Whatever that problem might be, maybe it's visible, maybe it's not so visible, but health issues can fuel loneliness. A person who loses a job can feel lonely. Lots of reasons to feel lonely. There are married people who feel lonely. There are children who feel lonely. Single people who may seem to have a lot of friends, they're lonely. The young and the old feel lonely. There are, as we look at life, as we look at the Bible, a lot of problems that we can't fix. I wish that I could fix every issue that people had. That's beyond my ability. But even though we can't fix every issue, we can do what Paul described in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And that is, we can try to help people bear their burdens. We can help some here, some there, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. If people are lonely, or people are potentially lonely, we should be welcoming, we should be inviting, and we should be supportive. To use a little common sense, can you imagine if you were lonely, and you had someone come over and visit and say, well, I'm sure feel badly that you have not too many friends. Boy, I just came from a great gathering and I'm headed to another one. I just have all kinds of people that I spend all kinds of time with. I hope I'm never in the position that you are. Good luck. I don't think that people would do that, generally speaking. But again, remember that golden rule that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Treat people as you want to be treated. If the shoe were on the other foot, how would we want to be treated? It's been said, and there is, I think, a great deal of wisdom in this. Online communities are an expression of loneliness. I don't know who came up with that thought, but I like it. Online communities are an expression of loneliness. That may help account for why so many people are on Facebook and other social networking sites, because they are lonely. We live in many ways a world which is disconnected, a world which isn't like what it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. We have a lot of lonely people. But God says help is available. Whether it's loneliness, whether it's something else, God has the solution. And part of that solution begins with us as individuals. It begins with us in the spiritual life that God allows us to have. That spiritual life isn't going to solve every issue. But it will, as the writer from Psalm 27 said, give us the strength to move forward, to get moving in the right direction, to fortify us with the strength that we need from day to day, and finally to have that eternal home with God. That process begins by faith. We can't have a relationship without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, we cannot please God. We must believe that he is. And with that faith, with that belief, we've got to live in the right way. Jesus explained that in Luke 13, verse 3. He said, if you're not willing to repent, if you're not willing to turn your life around and live in the way the Bible describes, you will perish. And with that belief and with that repentance, there is a need to acknowledge that Christ is our only hope, the Son of God. A man did that in Acts chapter 8. Timothy did that as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we confess that Christ is the Son of God. So that belief, that repentance, that confession, all those steps are necessary. But the Bible says there is one more step to entering into Christ. In Galatians 3:27, the Bible says, for as many of you as were or as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We need to put on Christ. The Bible says that process occurs from a baptism. That baptism allows us to have our sins forgiven, Acts 2:38, and have every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It puts us into a relationship where we have contact with other people. And that hopefully will be one of the things that helps eliminate loneliness. One of the things that helps better prepare us to go through this life and spend eternity with God. This morning, where are we? Are we someone who came here perhaps because of this time of year, or someone who's lonely? That's sad. There's some people here who love us, some people here who care for us, some people here who would like to help bear that burden. Maybe we're someone who is rarely lonely, but we have some other issues that can be helped by members who are here. If you're a Christian, we'd like to offer that help to you, whether that is a public matter that you'd like to make known, or that's a private matter. If you're someone who has not yet become a Christian, there's strength and there's hope. Many blessings, all blessings are found in Christ. And the process that we've outlined is the way to become a Christian. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and then faithful Christian living. The blessings of God are many, one of which is dealing and finding help with a problem of loneliness. This morning, if we can help you in that way or some other, will you please let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song.